Alright, there's gotta be something on.
They say the word shit like 100 times.
You make the bully drink piss.
Whoa!
What is this exactly about?
Sean's parents are basically on the verge of a divorce.
We'll come back to bite them in the ass later.
I always wonder, like, why was it always that kid's problem?
Did you see that?
But I'm sure I'm quite drunk enough to see Meet the Beatles.
Of course, yeah. Nobody saw it. You know why? Because no one saw this movie.
It's like Avenue Q, only worse.
Yeah, it was definitely a rental for me.
On 3D, plus the IMAX 3D, plus the other theater had it.
Which was not really that hard.
Wait, where did he come from?
Get it up.
One of those covers of the Video Store, you remember?
Oh, this is that movie? Yep, of course. Yep, what in the hell is this and why is it on my TV? Yeah, I'm gonna have to catch this from the beginning.
What am I watching?
A bunch of people are sitting out on a curb. Guy coughs, spits into the puddle on the street. All of a sudden a car comes by, splashes the puddle onto all the passengers. Cuts to the word coronavirus.
Living on lockdown 2021. How are you guys doing with this amazing global situation we find ourselves in? Happy quarantine.
So begins the end for Darkseid.
I've never seen a being this strong. Maybe one.
He's back.
I spent a lot of time trying to divide us. I made a promise to him on his grave. I need to bring us together. There are enemies coming from far away.
They serve an old power.
This world is divided. No protectors here. No lanterns. No Kryptonium. It will fall in his name. I have turned worlds to dust. All of existence shall be mine.
I have a second chance. I am not gonna waste it.
He said the Age of Heroes would never come again.
Fighting the devil and his army. In hell.
I don't care how many demons he's fought and how many hells. He's never fought us united.
It's time to stand. Fight. The time is now.
There's some other properties that I would love them to do. Like, I really like, I mean, the Swamp Thing show that they did for like DC Universe was really good. I mean, it was short, but you know, obviously because there were some problems there, but like a Swamp Thing movie, like done really well now, would I think would be awesome. I mean, the Swamp Thing movies that came out back in the 80s, like were pretty cool. I enjoyed them.
As you say,
I love those movies.
It's
cool to
especially
have
Return
those.
Of the Swamp Thing.
Yeah, and it's cool to have those as the, you know, campy roots if you're going to do like a new serious version, you know? Mm-hmm.
But that's, I mean, like, I just feel like, you know, I think if DC Warner Brothers takes a step back, and I guarantee you this thing is going to get rave reviews. Like, I can't see somebody giving this a negative review.
Well,
like,
that's the thing. Do we know, can anyone else pull up what the Rotten Tomatoes is right now in this movie?
Stand by.
Standing by. Because I'm really curious.
I'm just curious, and if they really take a look at that, and just like, I mean, obviously they know the amount of streams that they got off of this thing, you know.
They have an exact number.
And what they will get. I think if they take a look at that, there's going to be some course correction with the movie with the movies going forward.
For each stream, that might be several tickets sold because a lot of people are watching it together, you know,
yeah.
Just watching with their wife or their kids or whatever.
I was really surprised that, HBO Max didn't crash yesterday or the other night.
Yeah, I was worried about that. I was lucky watched it during the day.
Did you hear about the Tom and Jerry one?
Oh, no, yeah, it crashed for Tom and Jerry?
No. Someone fucking posted the wrong thing for Tom and Jerry. So if you played Tom and Jerry like a week ago, you got the Schneider cut and it was up for like an hour.
Oh, no. Yeah. Shit.
Yeah.
That's badass. See, I love shit like that. That's some fucking Mr. Robot F Society shit going on there.
Did that shit.
I've got the tomato. Okay, we'll see. All right, I want to talk about Cyborg in a second here. The tomato thing here, the Rotten Tomatoes for Zack Snyder's Justice League, 75% on the tomato meter, 97% audience score. The tomato meter right now is running off of 201 reviews. The audience score, 10,000 plus ratings. So,
well, I never really trust the Rotten Tomatoes score. I trust the audience score. The Rotten Tomatoes score, I've read and seen so much of
discrepancy.
You know, the back end. Give this a good, you know, rating thing or whatever like that.
Oh, and some payola going on.
Yeah, I I've heard a lot about the same reviewers reviewing the same things, and stuff like that. And like, I mean, it's no different than from a music perspective, you know, to get your music on the radio. What is always that like kind of like, hey, get my star on the radio, and we'll give you this or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
So I don't trust that. I trust the audience score because the reality of that is like, I'm sure if you go back to like the Justice League, like when it first came out, some of that was pretty high on the Rotten Tomato meter too.
Mm.
But the audience score is what really dictates what it is.
What the studios are going to listen to.
Well, yeah. I mean, the studios obviously listen to the fans, you know, otherwise we wouldn't be getting this cut. You know, we wouldn't have gotten a Richard Donner cut. We wouldn't get recuts of any of these other movies. But again, I would love it if this turns the tide and we get some more Snyderverse movies. But at the same time, I would not be the least bit upset if there are multiple universes go like, okay, well, you know, maybe we'll do another Snyder movie someday, but it sounds like they're all ready to move on. It honestly doesn't sound like there's much desire for anyone to go back and do more with each other. You know,
it's like an ex-girlfriend. It's like an ex-girlfriend that you really loved a lot. You really loved a lot, and then one day you got to see him in a different light, and you're like, well, maybe we could try this again. And then you're like, in a month in, and you're like, yeah, no, this is the same thing.
Yeah, at the same time, though, I mean, I feel like in the past, what they would do with something like this is they would release the Blu-ray. They wouldn't make it a big event like, hey, we're going to concurrently release this in theaters and on a streaming service that basically everybody has. And we're going to put out, you know, attempt number two. But don't get your dick hard for any of the stuff that it sets up because we're not doing any of that. And then, like, they all look at each other behind the curtain going, right? Yeah, I mean, fuck, dudes. They're all sitting out there. It's a pandemic. There are people actually in the theater watching. All right, well, we'll see. Anyway, for right now, the story is, because, I mean, dude, I was at fucking Ozzy's No More Tours tour in 97, where he flat out says to everybody, I'm never getting back together with Black Sabbath. And then the next year, Ozfest and Black Sabbath is the reunion of Black Sabbath is headlining. And I'm like, listen to this motherfucker. Literally a year ago, July at Jones Beach, telling us this shit would never happen. And if it's happening now, they were talking about it then. You know, that's the only, that's the big cynic in me now is like, dude, things don't happen overnight. These people have got contracts that need to be like negotiated by demons. That takes a long time. So I don't know. Like, I think they tell us one thing and they see what we do and then they pivot sometimes. And I'm hoping we can make them pivot on this, because at least let other people pick up where this left off. If Zach doesn't want to do it, have some people with this is the roadmap now. You know, it's hard when you pick up. And that's, I guess, my biggest thing is I keep coming back to is like, if all this was in the can, like, I mean, it'd be like all of us getting all these pieces and they would go figure out the puzzle and put it together. And like, Joss must have just taken half the pieces and been like, just fuck all these. I don't even want to look at them. I'm not going to look at what's on them. I'm just going to build what I have over here, and whatever gaps I have, I'm going to draw on the table and I'm going to put my shit in there. That's how it goes.
I think they're taking. See, here's the thing. Like, from what I hear, the original kind of concept was this, you know, the second part, Justice League 2, Justice League 3, and it was all storyboarded out. And, you know, in 2, you would get some Green Lanterns, and 3 would be more about the Green Lanterns and everything else like that. So, but the reality is, I think they're plucking some of that, because here's what they're doing. You may not get a movie, but, you know, that's what greenlit basically, you know, no pun intended, the Green Lantern Corps show that's going to be on HBO Max. So essentially, they just say, like, okay, well, we definitely know that we want to do this Green Lantern thing, and because the movie sucked, so that you know that is what it is. But we can really redeem this franchise or basically this character if we do this show. Because again, they go to the thought process of like, these DC shows are killing it, you know, and you know, so we can do that on HBO Max, and now we can, you know, course correct the Green Lanterns on that. So I think you're getting bits and pieces of what Snyder intended, but they're piecing it. So I mean, you got the New Gods movie, because again, Darkseid was a thing in Snyder's, you know, movie, but it never came to fruition at the time. So they decided, we'll do a New Gods movie. And that's how we'll introduce Darkseid. And then, you know, so I think they're like, they're taking his concept and they're piecing it. So you're going to get all these multiple things from that. But at the end of the day, I still go, but I want more of this.
Yeah. Yeah. And 97%, so do a lot of other people. Everybody wants more of this.
Well, you were going to say something about Cyborg before, Dave. What were you going to say about Cyborg?
He is there are some elements where I feel like there's a problem with his character, and he's a little overpowered in some regards. You know, the sort of level to which he is able to interact with the digital world left me feeling like, all right, well, if he's that, I forget what scene it was, but there was a scene where he's like, all right, so where is he? You know, like, where is this guy? How do we find him? I'm like, wait, you could access the fucking Wi-Fi internet of the universe right now, dude. Like, you shouldn't have questions. You should just be able to know everything. And I think that's kind of a problem with characters like that. Like, you've made somebody who's got so much ability, it's not plausible to me then that they would have these little weaknesses that are the contrivances to keep pushing the story forward. Other than that, he was pretty damn cool. I liked that we got a lot more of him. I would take a whole Cyborg movie after this. But they also opened the door with this war scene of like the old gods. Like, we're talking Ares, you know, and all those guys. It's going to be like what about like Kronos? And like, what about the guy from God of War on PlayStation? You know what I mean? Like, Kratos. You could like really cross in a couple other things. And I think one of the things that gave it this Lord of the Rings feel is that there was like a very Battle of the Five Armies feeling when they had the Atlanteans and the Amazonians and the humans all fighting together against Darkseid. You know, and I guess the old gods that helped them out too. And I don't know. We never had that in these movies before. There are all these elements that, like, if you told me this was going to be in there before I watched it, I would have been like, I don't know. I don't know if that's going to work. And it just worked. It was really, really cool. And I'm just really disappointed in Joss Whedon. I kind of feel like, yeah, all right, dude. It was fun while it lasted with you. But clearly, we got a little duped.
I feel like sorry, Mickey, go ahead.
No. Go ahead, Chris.
No, you go.
I was just going to say that I feel like this is the nail in the coffin. I mean, obviously, you know, the whole, like, scandal and everything else like that, but, like, the allegations and everything, but, like, also... this
you mean,
movie
like, Whedon needed this movie to suck.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just feel like, you know, if this had sucked, then the conversation would be like, well, these characters just suck, or it's just nobody can make a good team up movie with these characters anyways. Yeah. So, you know, just go back to like doing single, you know, movies of these characters. You know, and just be that. You know, I mean, they, you know, DC and Warner Brothers can make a Batman movie like nobody's business. Mm-hmm. I mean, whether it's
can
good,
they,
whether
though?
Whether well, I was gonna say whether it's good, whether it's bad. I'm just saying that you'll get a Batman movie, a new Batman movie, like every 5-10 years, whatever. You'll get a new Batman movie because it's the only character that they really know. Like, hey, just put him in a suit, make him dark, make him like talk like this, yeah, or whatever like that, and we're good, and that's it. So you'll get that character like tenfold, but yeah, they can't
I hope anybody else. I hope you get to play Batman at some point, just like in Who You Talk Like That for a whole movie.
Henry, you talk like that. Of course. All right, we get a mother box. Everybody gets mother boxes. The Atlanteans put in a squid in the middle of the ocean. The Amazonians have it in a temple guarded by hundreds and hundreds of guards, and the humans just bury the shit in the woods. We're just like, we don't know what this thing is. They had these wizards that were going to use it to destroy the world. We'll just bury it here.
I was going to say, Jason Momoa is great as Aquaman, but none of the Aquaman lore connected with me, really. And it didn't really connect with me that much in the Aquaman film either.
Yeah, it's hokey as fuck.
It's a really tough character to adapt. Like, I might have leaned toward Green Lantern instead of Aquaman in terms of picking my lineup. No disrespect to Aquaman. Like, maybe he would have been dope to bring in later or something, but...
Well, do you remember Saturday Night Live when they did the Death of Superman, and it was like... Everybody's at his funeral something goes down and like everyone's like, all right, you go do this, Aquaman, go talk to some fish. we're gonna do this one for Superman. Aquaman never got a lot of respect. You know what I mean? It was sort of like, are you guys fucking kidding me with this? Like, why do we have this one? Okay.
Same with the Robot Chicken, the Robot Chicken Justice League parodies or whatever like that with Aquaman. The real world, like, nah. Justice League.
I love the Robot Chicken, man.
Yeah, but, like, it's Aquaman. I feel like, I mean, like, I like the Jason Momoa Aquaman. And, look, for a character that, you know, he's an OG character. So I understand, like, we should have gone with Green Lantern. But the reality is, like, the stench of Green Lantern was still very real and still in the air. Yeah. So it's like, so they couldn't redeem that right away. So like, let's put a character that has not gotten a movie. Cause if we do a Green Lantern and we change it up, number one, people are going to be like, where's Ryan Reynolds? And number two, people are going to be like, that fucking movie sucked. Why do we want Green Lantern in this?
Well, fucking, I mean, there's just a lot of people that have been in the Justice League at different points. Like, I'm not saying you should do Hawkman, but Hawkman was in there.
I would have loved Hawkman.
I was going to say, I mean, that's kind of one that they've never really done anything with on the screen, at least not.
He'll be in Black Adam. They announced him in Black Adam.
Oh, really? Nice. Yeah.
Oh,
right.
Wow. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Yep. If that ever really happens. So they've been talking about that movie for like 10 years now.
Apparently it's in the pre-production.
Yeah, it's apparently. A 2022 release
for 10 years.
But and as well as like I think it's supposed to go into actual production in the spring.
That movie's taken longer than the fucking Avatar sequels.
Which I just don't believe they are even doing. I'm like, that's all bullshit. Yeah. Those just aren't happening.
Like Ghostbusters movies, I never believe it until I'm like leaving the theater after having just seen it.
Well, the Black Adam thing is also another thing. Like after Shazam, do you really want a Black Adam movie? I mean, like I get it. It's The Rock and he's cool and everything else like that. And it should be better. And the list of characters that are supposed to make their debut in there. Like for me, Dr. Fate being in the, you know, in a movie, like to me, like I have a fucking Dr. Fate tattoo. So like, I'm like, I love Dr. Fate. So like, I'm all on board with the Dr. Fate, you know, in an actual DC movie of some sort. But like the reality is that Shazam movie kind of, that blew chunks.
Oh so shit, like, I didn't see that either.
I mean like, did you see the movie Big?
Yes.
Okay, then you saw Shazam.
I completely forgot about Shazam. I mean, yeah, that's the funny thing. It's like,
that's,
you know,
a problem with that movie, too.
Not to bash Warner Brothers, you know, because I know you're listening, Warner Brothers. Hire me. Buy my movies. But
we talk shit, but hire us.
We can fix it. Yeah. We're the ones who know how to fix it.
But like, sadly, no, you guys have, like, Warner Brothers has had the keys to Batman and Superman and the entire DC universe for like 45 fucking years now. You know? Like, no joke. They've owned the shit for that long now. And how many good movies have they given us in 45 years? You know, like a handful of good Batmans and like, you know, maybe a couple of, you know, a few Superman movies here and there, and maybe a couple of Zack's movies, you know. You know, a couple of, you know, Chris Nolan's, obviously those are some of the Batmans and Burtons. But that's like
funny.
Really, that's like, I mean, what is it, like 5-6 movies in like 45 years? You know, one movie every 9 years, like.
And you notice any of their franchises on this level have these problems. Like we could bring up The Matrix, right? You know, first one's amazing and then they just don't know what the hell to do with the rest of it. And I don't know, there's a fourth one coming out, so it'll have the same feel like this. They're coming back after 20 years to try to make it work even better. I don't know.
You know, I love the Matrix movies. Like, I really like, you know, I love the second one, the third one, whatever. But
the
like,
third one's
garbage. I still love them as a whole. Like, as far as like, you know, if I'm like sitting there going like, you know, I love these movies. It's like, it just is what it is. So like, I mean, I could forgive the third one.
I could forgive the third one for sure.
I never can. Because
you know what, the second one is your typical Hollywood sequel. It's the first movie all over again, but bigger and like, you know, more expensive and expansive. And then the third one is like, all right, we're going to do different and conclusive, you know, war movie. And they went for it, you know, like, hey, I don't think it's a failure. The third movie. I know it, like, not everyone loved it, but I'm weird. I forgive quite a few third chapters that a lot of people don't like. Same here. I don't hate on Godfather 3 like everyone else does. I know it's got its flaws, but like, I always thought there's a lot of really great stuff in there.
Have you seen the new one? The one that just got rid of Coda?
No, but I'm
recut.
Really curious though.
I got
really
that.
Curious.
That was really good. I actually enjoyed that a lot.
I'm no, really there's a new one?
It's a recut by Brian De Palma. Like, they re-edited the movie to make it more like what it was supposed to be. And
okay. So
it's very much like
now.
This. It's the Snyder cut of Godfather movies.
Well, I also feel like, piggybacking on you, Chris, like, I feel like whenever you do, like, consecutive movies, because I know that it's cheaper for these movie theaters to sign these actors to, like, you know, consecutive movies, like, oh, we're going to do 2 and 3, you know, back to back, so that we got these guys blocked out for this time. I feel like the third film always gets the fatigue. Like, these
back
guys...
Leisure 3.
Yeah, I feel like it's a fatigue thing. Like I feel like I mean like not with, like and
Matrix.
And even,
it just felt like it was. I almost argued it felt like it wasn't even written by the same people who wrote the first two. You know, I was like, this one just sucks. Like I don't even know how to start describing it. Like from a visual to a story perspective, everything about it is ridiculous.
But that could be a fatigue thing as well. I mean, true. From a writing standpoint, if you get contracted to do like this many films and you're like, I mean, you make a, you know, one really, you know, it's no different than like a band that has a lifetime to write their first album. And, you know, they have a lifetime to write that first album. That first album is a hit. And then they come around and the record company is like, okay, well, we need this record in 2 weeks. Or like in a month, you got to get this record out. So they only have like that much time to write the second album.
Zach wasn't given the timetable that most directors in the past have been given. I think that's where you're going, Mickey. That Chris Nolan always said, like, you know, I was allowed to take 2 to 3 years in between every one of my Batman films, and like they would have been terrible if I wasn't. Like he's like, I always made a film in between them. You know, like after the first one, I think he made The Prestige. And then after the second one, he made Inception. And,
oh, geez, yeah.
You know, so he was allowed to like breathe and be inspired. And they were allowed to have the time to get the script right, you know. And I don't think that was like, imagine if they had like another 6 months on each of these movies just to work out the script details, like how much better they all could have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, and then and the you know, going back to this Snyder cut of Justice League, remember that like they were, Warner Brothers was really just trying to compete with Marvel.
Yeah. They're absolutely.
I'm sure they put a ton of pressure on Snyder to deliver something quick, deliver something like, you know, that was going to make them $1 billion. And sell a lot of toys and this and that, whatever the case may be, and just like put it out there to say like, hey, we have our property. DC's like, you know, is good too, or is, you know, just as good, if not better, and blah blah blah.
But if they saw this and they were like, no, this isn't what we want, that means that they wanted it to even look and feel like Avengers. You know what I mean? They couldn't be content with going, this is our version of that. You know what I mean?
They saw Batman and Robin and were like, okay, yeah, straight.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Another toy commercial movie.
They're like, this isn't what we want. We want Shazam. Like,
again, toy it's commercials. Like, it's all toy commercials, man.
And we want to spend another 10 years getting Black Adam just right.
The best analogy I can give is like, you know, and, you know, all respect and everything else like that. But it's like, you know, Journey, the band Journey. Like, you know, when Steve Perry went away, they spent so much time like, we need somebody that sounds just like Steve Perry. And they went through vocalists that did sound like Steve Perry until they find, and then they found this guy basically on YouTube that sounds exactly like Steve Perry. And it's like, and now they're like, you know, they tour with him and play with him and this and that, whatever the case may be. So it's like, it's just that. It's just like, we know this works. Like, or we know that, you know, Whedon had the success with Avengers. We know that, like, you know, he did Avengers. That's what we want. So we're just going to get him to do this.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's basically what their plan was.
It's a cheater way of doing it. Like, we can't think of another name. Like, I mean, when Zack Snyder unfortunately had to bow out, you know, they could have handed the reins off to, you know, somebody else, maybe a first-time director,
or
maybe
Nolan
David
could have come in and picked up the reins. Maybe
he was producing on it.
Oh, was Nolan?
It's the fact that he left after doing all this. You know, he had to leave the project after getting, you know, this whole sequence with Victor in the football. So, you know, it's like, my God, man! Like, you left with all that already in the can. There wasn't a lot of work left to do for Whedon to have done the changes he did. There's a part of me that is just totally going to believe forever that he was sabotaging this so that he wouldn't have to divide his loyalty either between caring about Avengers or caring about DC now that he's on board at DC, you know?
Yeah, I guess that, yeah.
Sabotage your new kid to sabotage the up and comer to keep your classic star in the spotlight.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they were thinking. And, you know, I also don't have any real faith in this Batman movie that they have coming out with Robert Pattinson.
Yeah.
And, you know, at first I was really upset that he was Batman. And then I saw the trailer. I'm like, oh, well, I don't really care because the movie looks terrible either way. So.
Yeah, it's like it looks like it's one of those trailers that everybody's watching going like, wow, what? I feel like I should like that. And I'm going to tell people I do at first, but I don't think I liked that. I don't know what to do here. What was that?
Oh, yeah, man. I have no high hopes for that.
Well, and especially after that whole thing with Stryker, and then Stryker goes from appearing with Luther, and then he's in the future dream, and it was like, whoa, 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 what's happening here? Like, the future dream team there, it was pretty interesting what was going on. We definitely hear...
you mean Deathstroke, right?
Deathstroke, yeah, I'm sorry. I said, I Stryker is, what, the other guy who looks X-Men. Exactly like him? Oh, yeah, but X-Men. He looks exactly like him, right? Like, they have, like, the two same characters came out of the same mold. One went to Marvel, one went to DC.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and like he was with them in the sort of dark Superman future, which I feel like because the mother box was like the future has taken root in the present. I was like, I don't remember it saying that in the original version. And they clearly have this dark Superman movie that they were planning on making, right?
Well, that's like basically, basically, you know, Darkseid, you know, finds the anti-life and takes control of Superman. And that's why you get this, the nightmare sequence is basically the setup to that, where it's like, you know, you had two different nightmare sequences. You had the one of Cyborg seeing the evil Superman killing like Lois Lane and killing like just basically everybody or whatever case may be. And then, you know, and he was like, you know, freaked out about that.
Well, he definitely doesn't kill Lois. Somehow they let Lois die. That's what they.
I think Darkseid kills Lois.
Yeah.
But anyway, Darkseid kills Lois. And that's basically what Cyborg sees. Darkseid kills Lois. And then he actually like takes control of Superman and all that stuff. And Superman kills everybody in the Justice League. Because you could see that in Cyborg's nightmare sequence. So the end nightmare sequence with Batman and the team up with Mara and future Flash, Joker, all that is basically the anti-life was found by Darkseid and he still has control of Superman. That's why you get the Superman at the end, but he's in the blue suit. But and you get like the mixed up multi-universe or multiverse. Essentially, think of it as a Suicide Squad almost kind of mashup, where it's like, you know, Batman's probably got like, you know, like only a few people that he can call on to try to team up to try to take on this evil Superman, because Superman has killed off everybody. Superman has killed Aquaman, because basically in the comic, I think that was a thing too. With the anti-life, that Superman did kill Aquaman, because then you hear like Mira say,
"Yeah, she was like, I'm gonna put this through his chest for what he did to him." Or
exactly. So he essentially has no Justice League. He can only call upon who he has available, and it's basically Deathstroke. You know, because Deathstroke is obviously they teased Deathstroke going after Batman, and then. You know, Joker and everybody else.
I don't know if you think making me repeat myself is going to somehow make the story change, or if you just don't want to hear what it is I actually have to say, but again, we changed course based on orders received on the Flash ban from company headquarters. Code Gold, Command Eyes Only. Standard operating procedure, as I know you are aware. Search and Rescue would rarely venture into an unregulated area without more concrete proof of life. We sure found something out there, all right.
when you watch it as a little kid, you know, it's a monster movie. It's creepy. But then there's all the weird artificial intelligence stuff. There's the, like, rapey nature of the facehuggers and all that.
Why don't you stick your face in the egg, dude? Is there an egg opening in front of you? Stick your face in there and see what happens.
When I fall asleep at night, I have this irrational fear that something is going to crawl inside and, like, lay eggs inside of me. I'm actually wondering, now that we're talking about this, if this might have been the impetus for that.
You know, Star Wars comes out, and they go, what other movies do we have set in space? Boom. Alien gets green light the next day.
Very similar to just even how our government is in preparation for something where they didn't know exactly what was in store, like specifically xenomorphs.
Bodily fluids, and it's not just blood. There's a lot of, like, grease, and there's a lot of sweat. And if it wasn't the blood that got me, it was the sheer amount of sweat.
We're on a mission to bring back knowledge of the xenomorph.
The end of all mankind, all wrapped up in a boat, just waiting for us to come along. You're going to find yourself staring down the barrel of a living, breathing devil in the flesh that bleeds acid and lives to kill us.
That's in there.
I don't know. I want to see that shit. Movie. Yeah, I want to see that. Yeah. How are they going to not
that
do that
so
now?
Interesting.
Cyborg was there too, right? Cyborg was part of that team.
Yeah, he was there too, yeah.
You know, the one thing I will say that we didn't really talk about yet is The Flash was a resounding success for me in this. I loved Ezra Miller's Flash. And I was thinking about, while the movie was starting, I was just thinking about how much I really wanted to see that George Miller Justice League that they almost got, like, you know, a little over 10 years ago, where Adam Brody was going to play The Flash and DJ Katrina was going to play Superman, Armie Hammer was going to play Batman, Jay Baruchel was going to play Maxwell Lord. Like, it was a pretty cool young cast, very, very young cast. It was, you know, going to be kind of Teen Titans-ish, I think.
Yeah.
But or like Junior Justice League even. And it was going to exist separate from the Nolan and then Nolan and Singer, you know, Superman and Batman universes. But, you know, I feel like Ezra Miller gave me that. He gave me a hilarious Flash, like, you know, and that was great. That's the way Flash is supposed to be to me. He's supposed to be, like, cracking jokes and just being really funny. I don't know. I loved it. But,
yeah,
you know,
he was good.
You know, there's certain things, you know, like I said, the Aquaman stuff, you know, the reason that didn't connect with me, the Aquaman stuff, is the same reason the Wonder Woman origin lore doesn't connect with me that much. Is I'm just not into that, like, medieval-y kind of stuff, you know? Like, you know, like, great Odin's raven, you have a meeting in the High Council of the Chambers of the Lord. You know, I start, you know, kind of checking out a little bit with that stuff. It's nothing against it. It's not, I'm not saying it's bad. It's just not particularly my cup of tea. Cyborg, Superman, Batman, Flash, that should interest me a whole lot more. But, you know, that's just to be fair and balanced. You know, no movie's perfect. But this one was so much fun. And I really feel like, you know, it's funny. It only took them 3 movies to do. But now they have a universe they could build on, and they won't build on it.
And it's a dead on arrival. Like,
they,
yeah.
I mean, they could have built better off Man of Steel. They could have built better off of you know, BVS than the Whedon cut. You know, they reap what they sow. And they made their bed. They got to sleep in it.
Yeah, it happens. It happens.
Yeah, but I mean, they're so interested in, like, in building, like, I mean, like, you know, when the whole, like, Man of Steel 2 was a thought or whatever case may be, and then it's so long now that they basically go, we're transitioning. Now we're going to make a Supergirl movie. And so that's why you're going to get the introduction of the Supergirl in Flashpoint, basically. And I think they want to go forward with that. I think there is a rumor that they may want to do, like, kind of like a Justice League Unlimited kind of deal, or a JSA with Supergirl. I don't know what they're going to try to do from this point, but I almost feel like they want to do another team movie, but they were trying to distance themselves from the Justice League, or at least the version of Justice League that we've already gotten, which is Batman, Superman, et cetera, et cetera. So I think they want to go maybe more in a different light. So you can have Justice League Unlimited. You know, you can have, like, a different team up if you bring Supergirl, you can bring Supergirl, you can bring Flash, because, I mean, obviously they're going forward with this Flash movie, and it, by all accords, it seems like Ezra Miller is still Flash. Of everybody, he is the only character that's still his character. Him, Aquaman, and Wonder Woman for right now. For right now.
So it almost feels like they still kept going with this in a way, right? Like, because if Wonder Woman had Wonder Woman 84, Ezra Miller's going to have another Flash. We're going to have another Aquaman. So it's like, arguably, the universe is moving forward. And, you know, there is time. It's a course correct that if that's the case, right? Like, you could bring Henry Cavill back and do Man of Steel 2, but it's the now back from the dead sort of weird. We're getting hints that he's going to be possibly turned evil, right? So, you know, there could, and you could use those individual movies to advance the plot for one or two of these characters each time, you know, and have them all keep checking in with each other. And don't do it in credit sequences, do it in parts of the movie. So that way it's like, instead of having to do 10 movies per phase between team up movies, DC just does like 3 or 4 movies a year. You know what I mean? And that's just, it is what it is. And you have to watch them all to get everybody's story and period. And that's it.
I feel like it's too soon. I mean, like, it's going to take some time as far as, in the sense that you can't replace Henry Cavill as Superman right now.
Right.
No, he's too good and he's too fresh in people's minds.
Exactly. And the Affleck one, you've already pretty much replaced him with Pattinson. So that's whatever it is, because you're just accustomed to that. If you think about the Supermen in a movie, there have only been, what, 3? Reeves, Brandon Routh, and Henry Cavill.
I guess so.
So yeah. Those don't
to older people, to older people, George Reeves as well, but that's TV.
Right. Yeah, but yeah. Then you get into Dean Cain also with Lois and Clark.
Yeah, but I'm talking in movies strictly.
Yeah.
But Tom Welling, you know, was, you know, very cinematic, though he was on television, that he has a huge fan base, people. And Dean Cain probably did too.
I love Tom Welling. I love Tom Welling. I felt like he should have been, or could have been, a Superman in a movie. But again, I go back to the conversation we had before about, like, you know, you have gold with the DC, you know, universe on TV, on the CW and stuff like that. Established characters that would just go a long way.
Yeah. I mean, I think, is it possible? I guess it's not, you know, I mean, it really isn't possible to do like a full reset. And even if you did, does anybody care enough to want them to redo it? You know, like, should we just leave comic books for a while? Are we getting fatigued with all comic book shared universe movies? Like, I know I've said it a couple times, but I really don't care about the Marvel movies anymore. Until one comes along that really gets my attention and changes my mind, you know. But if we're going to leave them behind, what are we going to leave them behind for, you know?
I mean, I'll disagree with you on that one, because I am excited about, you know, the new phase of Marvel. That's just me. I love these movies, and I mean, hard press. Like, I still, there's only a few bad Marvel movies, and even at that, they're not like bad in the sense like, oh God, I wish this would end. They're just bad, like, you know, like, well, that's not as good, but they're not enough to make me go like, I don't want to watch these movies, because I love these movies. So like, to me, it's like, I want to see more of this. So, I mean, DC from a movie standpoint is the only one that gets me not wanting more, you know, but the reality
probably
is
not what they're going for. I doubt that's on their mission statement.
Yeah, the reality is that I've had this conversation with friends before. They're like, I don't want to see that movie. It's a piece of shit, whatever the case may be. And I'm like, I get it. Yeah, it doesn't look good. But the reality at the end of the day, it's like, I want them to make more of these movies. So I have to, like, you know, support these movies as bad as they are for the hope of getting something better. If you stop supporting, then you're not going to get nothing at all. So it's like, it's almost at the same, you know, like then the conversation will be like, man, I wish they would do comic book movies again. You know, so I'm like, I almost just say like, fuck it. Let's just like enjoy the good, take the, you know, the bad with the good and just keep going. Let's roll with it. I mean, like, you know, what I love, like, you know, like there's so many movie franchises and so many different movies that I would love for them to make movies in that vein still again. But the fan base just stopped, you know, supporting, and you don't get movies if you don't support.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. You know, I don't know. I am fatigued personally, you know. To answer your question, Dave, at this point, Endgame was so good, I can't imagine anything topping that anytime soon. So I'll go see the ones that look like they're extra fun, you know, or look like a really great time, really unique or interesting. You know, you bring Michael Keaton. Yeah, I'm going to go see that. You know, Ben Affleck's back as Batman 2. I'm definitely going to go fucking see that. But, like, other than that, you know, I am kind of ready to move on towards, like, more indies and stuff like that, because that's honestly where the next geniuses are right now. The uncovered geniuses, they're out there making little indie movies, and they just haven't had their big breakout hit yet. So, you know, I'll always look for good movies, and I feel like I'll have a better rate of finding them if that's where I'm looking from now on, personally.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't know what I want to replace the void that comic book movies will leave for me. But it's been making me go back and probably study franchises more. I've been really, I don't know if this is pandemic influenced, but I've been sort of obsessively rewatching all of the Mad Max films recently. And, you know, there are movies that were doing the shared universe thing before comic book movies. You know, there were franchises that were small but had the same level of world building that we're finally seeing present in this version of the Justice League that really wasn't there in the theatrical. So it's interesting. I wonder if, you know, the fatigue is being felt by more than just me and Chris out there. And especially when you're going to do something like tease this, we can do this, but we're not gonna. So like, oh, well, what the fuck are you going to do? We might not like it just because it's not this, you know, and that's like a weird, you know, we kind of get tired of that bait and switch kind of with our feelings. So I don't know what I would like to see take the place. You know, Mad Max has got another movie supposedly in the works, but maybe there is some franchise that hasn't been discovered yet that's just waiting to be uncovered. I don't know if you guys have seen the movie Chronicle. I was expecting more movies in that vein. That'd be sort of like taking a step away from comic books, but still having sort of superpowers, but also exploring it through, like, you know, today's modern, everybody's got a camera in their hand, found footage sort of style.
I don't know. Chronicle, but I felt the same way about Upgrade, that you, what you're describing about Chronicle. I was hoping more movies like Upgrade, which I really enjoyed.
I like the Jamie Foxx one that was on Netflix. Power, I think it was called.
Oh yeah, I saw it in the promoted. Yeah, I thought that was really good.
I feel like you got the, you know, you have the new Matrix. If the new Matrix is really good and it's a hit, then I mean you have like the ability to return to that franchise. Mm. If you're talking franchises, you still have that Dune movie.
Oh, that could be, that's right.
That could be something if it hits and people, like, I mean, you have a new fan base that could be created by that.
Yeah. I feel like. No, sorry. Oh, continue.
Go ahead, Chris.
I was going to say, I feel like, is going to be really good. Space Jam 2. I know that's an unpopular opinion right now, but I just got a feeling Space Jam 2 is going to be really good. But continue. I'm sorry. What were you saying, buddy?
I don't know about Space Jam 2 as far as like if that's gonna be any good. I don't know if that'll lead to like a resurgence of like, oh man, I need some more Space Jam.
Like, yeah. No, I just think it's gonna be some of those, one right? Good movie.
Like, someone like, who the hell really wanted more of this? Like, why? Yeah,
exactly. I mean, you're gonna get that Mighty Ducks show on Hulu.
I love the Mighty Ducks, but I got a feeling that that might not be so great. I hope I'm wrong. I'm skeptical about everything now. You've given me so many shit Terminator movies and shit Alien movies.
Yeah.
You've given me so many shit RoboCop movies and like so many, like, all my favorite things. You've just turned so many of them to just pure garbage. Like, how many crappy direct-to-video, like, Beethovens and Home Alones like have we gotten, you know, when like the first couple were great, you know, and then you just turn it into shit. Like,
I feel like with anything, franchises after a while just start to die out. I mean, you have that period, like, you mean horror franchises were so popular and then it got diluted and then that goes away. And then, like, you know, you go to, you know, sci-fi franchises and they're so good and that gets diluted and then that goes away. And now you have the comic book ones. So.
Yeah.
Everything's reciprocal in a way. So I feel like you can go back and I almost feel like the sci-fi franchises, it's what's going to be the next thing. Like I feel with
like the
Matrix,
non-Star Wars, yeah, so like the not yeah, Star Trek
exactly.
and Star Wars. Yeah.
I think with Matrix, with Dune, with there's some other things too. I feel like those things are going to hit. I feel the Ready Player One, they're getting a sequel. And I almost feel like, you know, that is something that like was really, you know, did really well. And I think the sequel would do equally as well.
Is Spielberg directing the sequel, though?
I don't know. I honestly know so little about it. I know it's greenlit and I know they're doing it, but I don't know who's doing what or whatever. I can't imagine Spielberg would not be a part of it.
Yeah.
But interestingly enough, Justice League, you know, and the whole Snyderverse and what they did with the Disney Star Wars, it might be the death of franchise filmmaking for a while.
Yeah.
It really might be. People just may say, you know what, I'm kind of over this stuff. I want to go back to, like, just fun, light movies or, you know, uniquely original movies or whatever, and that could kick off another golden age of great creativity, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like,
more story-based.
Yeah, but, and that, the story-based, I mean, let's look at our other favorite one, Cobra Kai, right? I mean, that is the way franchises are being continued. And I don't know if you've seen it yet. I don't know if you've watched it either, Chris, but, you know, this new Coming to America sequel that they did,
I love the original. I have not seen it yet, so
I saw it. I liked it.
I liked it a lot too.
I liked it.
I'm surprised at how much I liked it, and I kind of feel
same
like
here.
There are a few of these guys out there that are swinging and hitting like over the fucking fences with bringing back online properties that we didn't necessarily know had life left in them. So there is this sort of weird balance out there of like. You know, some franchises we should let go fallow for a while so they have their time for us to miss them. And then you don't have to do quite as much heavy lifting to bring them back. Like, Coming to America is a little bit gimmicky, but definitely worked the way they used the formula and moved it down the line 30 years. So at this point, I'm almost thinking we have to look 20 to 30 years back at some one-off, one-and-done movies that looked like they had the potential to have an entire universe behind them, like maybe a Dark City or something like that. And which I'm not just saying because we have a VCR coming up on that one, but I'm just saying there are movies that had these like one-off moments, you know, like The Crow. I know what they wanted to do with The Crow. They didn't get a chance to do it with The Crow, and any attempt they made failed horribly. But there have to be some movies that are floating around out there that were like, okay, let's try this one instead. I bet this would make a better franchise, you know?
I guess, but I almost feel like, you know, when we talk about fatigue, I do feel like a fatigue in the sense that, you know, there are a lot of people saying like, stop giving me the same thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, do something original, like the John Wick movies. That's why John Wick hit so hard.
Yeah,
because it was like, you know, okay, it's your typical action movie in a sense, and your typical like maybe like back to old school Death Wish, Charles Bronson type stuff, but it's brought into a new light, and this is like, get me more of that, and there's a fourth one of that coming.
There's so, like three more of those on the way.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, they're going to run their course eventually too, and like the Fast and Furious franchise, I mean, it's going to run its course too and stuff like that. I mean, I love the franchise anyways, but so you have some of that as well, but I feel like people are just overall just saying like, okay, well, can you give me like a new character? You can give me the same thing, but give me somebody new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, closing thoughts, guys. Anything else to add on the now seemingly finished, probably, hopefully not, Snyderverse?
We never know, right? They have the mother boxes. Apparently, they destroyed them at the end of this. There's, like, probably some... We could do a whole nother dive on the battle scenes and how they really did a much better, pacing with everything. Some stuff I didn't like. I was hoping there was going to be a cooler way they would bring Superman back to life. But the layer they added to it, though, with like the ship is begging me not to do this, you know, like I don't remember that being a part of the Whedon version. So I thought that was pretty cool. And like the fight with what's his name at the end, Steppenwolf, they took out the whole thing with like the civilians that were within the blast radius of the city, right? Like the city that they were fighting Steppenwolf in was like a dead city near Chernobyl, right? And I think in the Joss Whedon, didn't like the Flash have to run out and save this like family that was still in there? You know, you're just like, what the hell was that? Like we lost all that shit. Everything about it just was so much nicer. So I don't know. With the maybe the mother boxes will bring us another movie with the Martian Manhunter or something. So fingers crossed on that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thankful for the anti-life equation finally being in a film. I'm thankful for finally seeing at least a teeny little bit of dark side.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm thankful that someone came in with a unique vision and said, I'm going to do these movies in a way no one's ever seen them, no one will ever do before, no one will probably ever do since. So, thank you, Zach. I know you're listening.
Yeah, exactly. Man.
Thank you.
Thank you, dude. I loved your Dawn of the Dead.
Oh, same here. Dare I say it, I kind of like his a little bit better than the OG.
Me too, whatever. Dude. I was obsessed with it. When it came out on DVD, I watched it every day for like weeks, 2 or 3 weeks.
The only flaw of that one was that he had too many people living at the end.
Yeah. Oh, but then if you watch the credits, they're all fucked anyway.
Yeah, but like, but
nobody
there was
gets
like
out alive.
There was too many people. I'm sitting there going like, this is too many people.
This is just too many people. We got to thin out this herd. Yeah. All right. Well, until the next massive shared cinematic universe is begun and then horribly misstepped and then left to wallow in its own misery for a couple of years and given a chance to resurrect itself and swing for the fences and by all accounts, grand slam it on its way into concluding. We will be here at the Hollow Knight Network waiting to discuss that one, whatever it may be. Will it be Dune? Will it be this Godzilla vs. King Kong that I've been secretly waiting for because I actually kind of care about that shared cinematic universe just because those movies were better than I thought they were going to be. Anything you guys want to plug, Chris, Live Action Media, what's going on, or Best Around or any of the other things that you do, what can people look for on the horizon from you?
Well, folks, as usual, you can see me mashing up movies that don't belong together on the daily if you follow me on Facebook. My name is Chris Stiles, Stiles, and my profile picture is me photoshopped onto Pee-wee's Big Adventure poster. On top of that, by the time this airs, I believe there will be a panel of myself and the wonderful cast of Sleepaway Camp. I will be moderating for Wizard World coming up very, very soon. And by the time this airs, it's probably on YouTube by now. So for you guys, you Sleepaway Camp fans out there, go to YouTube and check that out. Otherwise, I'll just be kicking it over with Ian at the VCR and doing commentary tracks on the weekly.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. Mickey, what about you, man?
Just nothing right now. Everything's kind of low key. I mean, like, I think eventually some things will shake with the band and, you know, we'll start to do some pre-production or whatever like that and, you know, to recording the EP or album, whatever we want to do. So for right now, I'm just staying low key, but like I am in Rick Barth in the Line. So you can follow him online and try to catch up on any shows he's doing, as well as any kind of information on the band, The Line.
Oh, yeah. All right. And, of course, keep it locked in here at the Hollow Knight Network to hear both of these guys as we continue training at the Dojo 9 and, you know, talking about movies in the VCR repair shop or here on What Am I Watching? And we'll be watching all kinds of stuff, like when you go over to Amazon Prime and you happen to be paused on Mr. Robot. I don't know if you guys have ever watched that. Maybe we'll talk about that one day. Mr. Robot from USA, starring, what's his name, Rami Malek. Until then, Dave the Clone. This has been What Am I Watching? We are still living on lockdown, and a new dawn of justice has broke. It is here. Revel and behold, and join us on journeys like this in the future, won't you? Bye.
You've been listening to the Hollow Nine Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media. That's the word hollow, the number 9, INE. Now broadcasting from our new home on the web, hollow9.com, where you can find info on all of our awesome programming as well as the team behind the shows. Leave us your feedback, join in the conversation, and be a part of the action. Find the Hollow Nine Network on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you find your podcasts. Email us at info@hollow9.com or at hollow9podcast@gmail.com. Join in the fun. Hollow Nine.
The New Jersey HorrorCon reputation is exploding. The atmosphere you guys have created. New Jersey HorrorCon was my entree into an actual horror convention.
Wow. Love it.
And you guys are doing a great job.
That is amazing. I'm super proud and super inspired to hear that. I mean, that's a testament to the community of cons and, you know, of horror and stuff in general.
My God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's Carmen Electra.
Hey, hey,
wow,
hey,
we so are all nice giving high fives to an absolute icon.
This is incredible.
Trailblazer, amazing. You are amazing. Carmen Electra,
absolutely. Be well. Safe. Thank you so much.
Love.
Have a good one. Be well.
So
you can't see it on radio, but she's still
God.
Got it.
Oh, my God, yes.
That's my
absolutely.
Wife right
still
there.
Got
my
it.
My wife gets the picture of Carmen Electra.
The wife does it. There you go, wife. Good job, wife. That's a cool. keeper. That wife's a keeper.
Are you having a blast?
I am having a blast. Are you having a blast?
I am.
This place is awesome, right?
What's your most favorite part of the whole day so far?
When the guy dressed like Gene Simmons from Kiss stopped in front of our booth and we put Strutter on and he did a lip sync to the whole thing.
Guys, if you haven't subscribed yet, go ahead and do that.
Yesterday I bumped into Michael Winslow. I got to have this whole experience where Leslie Easterbrook was lost and looking for her autograph table and I got to take her all around me.
It's spooky, actually. I'm going to turn the chair around a little bit so I can see you.
All right.
Keep an eye on you. I saw you and I thought, this guy knows everything. Terrific sound in here with
cool.
you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's
really
amazing
clear.
How it... Damon Della Greca of Slasher, this awesome app.
I wanted to do something that would really make it for these people who just love to create, who love horror.
Thank you for what you're doing, dude. It's
Thank
great
you.
That you put this together.
Absolutely, man. It's always good to see you.
We're trying to have as much fun, and we want people to have fun with us, and that's why we got guys like you stop by the table, hang out. We got to do the radio thing for a little bit.
He's from Jersey. I'm from the South, so.
And I'm from the Bronx, so.
So we're all still friends. That's good.
So we're all good. Daniel Frankenstein. I'm representing psychothematicmedia.com. Call ourselves a creative collective.
My name is Gail Bykowitz.
Yeah, I'm Hector De La Rosa. We're partners in crime here. We're doing special effects makeup, and we're also independent filmmakers.
When I ran into them earlier, they were definitely vampire cowboys.
I love Better Off Dead. I love Dylan Ted. And I'm just so glad that you guys remember
those films. Oh my God. Those movies, I would go to school and just try and talk like Bill and Ted all day.
Those triumphant.
I want my $2, man. Right? I have walked around wanting those $2 for how many years now?
This is fantastic.
But of course, we need some language lessons.
Like,
yeah.
David Clone from the Hollow Knight Network, and by now you know what it's time for you to do. Let's go on over to NewJerseyHorrorCon.com, get yourself some tickets, and check out this awesome event where we are lifetime sponsors. We will be there from now until infinitum with all these incredible guests that are going to be at the next one, bringing you all the awesome from the show floor right to your digital door, right here at Hollow9.com at the New Jersey Horror Con and Film Festival.
Did you get it? I hope you got it.
I got it.
That's good. See you soon.
I want to take karate. I don't know about you. I don't know if you've ever taken karate. Every 5 minutes of this show, I was like, I want to take karate.
I'm the type of guy, I get my hopes up too high for everything. You know, I get too excited for these things, and you know, Cobra Kai came out, and I'm like, God damn it, they're doing it to me again. I'm too excited for this. It's probably not going to be anywhere near as good as I want it to be. And it was so much better. I had expectations that were way too high, and it passed every one that I had.
Man can't stand. He can't fight.
It's making me watch the first movie, the second movie. It's making me watch the movies again.
Yeah, I love the Karate Kid movies so much. The good guys and the bad guys, and Cobra Kai, of course. It's blew my mind. Way better than it has any right to be.
A man can't breathe.
That first Karate Kid movie, yeah, it shaped the whole way that you even thought about, like, the sort of bully-victim dynamic, the mentor-mentee dynamic.
A man can't see, he can't fight.
Karate was this mystical thing back then, and the way this movie handles introducing it, and then that becomes a theme that never leaves. It's throughout the whole franchise. I think that's something that makes this have a lot more emotional punch watching it older.
Yeah, these movies, they're every bit as good to me now as they were as a kid, and even though I know every fucking line to all three of the original movies and half the series by now, it's still, you know, this shit can make me Cobra cry, man.
This franchise, the way it connected its movies, was one of the things that always struck me as a genius move.
I think it was probably worth it that we did not get more Karate Kid movies for all this time, because when it came back the right way. This was worth the wait.
We'll call this the beginning, man. This is how it starts. The beginning of Hollow Nine Dojo, or Dojo 9.
Fear does not exist in this dojo. Pain does not exist in this dojo. We do not train to be merciful here. This is a place of learning. This is a place of knowledge. For years we've gotten from Karate Kid and Cobra Kai. And now it's time for us to get back.
It'll open up a way for us to talk about all kinds of martial arts movies. There's also, like, no way to not compare those instantly to Karate Kid.
Man, face you.